You're listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast of the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato with your host, Historical Society Executive Director Jessica Potter. And now, Surrounded by History.
Hello and welcome to Surrounded by History. I'm your host, Jessica Potter with the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Joining me today is Radio Mankato's Jeff Lang. Each week, this program explores the history all around us, the history in plain sight. Today, we have a special show with a very special guest. Let's see if you can guess who is joining us a second time today. This man spent 44 years in commercial radio, many of those years right here on KTOE. He is now retired and writes a monthly column for the Mankato Magazine and hosts 1 hour of musical programming of his choice on KMSU Radio each month. Oh, and one more hint, he's related to City Mouse founder and Hall of Fame harmonica player. Of course, we are talking about the legendary
Pete Steiner.
Yes, welcome.
Cue the music.
Welcome to Surrounded by History, Pete.
And he's still alive.
He's the living legend.
You know, and devilishly handsome.
Yes, yes. So if you think, oh, I've already heard this podcast, this is actually volume two.
Yeah. So well, we ran out of time.
We ran out of time for the last one. Pete is with us today to take us back in time to Mankato's prolific music scene of the 1960s and 70s. And we ran out of time, so we are going to do volume two. So sit back and be surrounded by history. All right, Pete. So we ran out of time in our first podcast and we didn't get to talk about the venues. And as a history geek who is very much in like obsessed with buildings and what was there before and just the whole concept of just other people have walked this path, sat in this restaurant in a different way. Tell us about the venues, the music scene, the venues that helped to support all of these musicians that were here during this time.
You know, I think it's probably fortunate that a lot of venues decided that it would help sell product, you know, drinks, food, whatever, if they had music to draw people in. And so the first place that springs to mind for me would be the Century Club, which was a wonderful place with a river view built really right on the banks of the Minnesota River, the West Bank over North Mankato. It was, like many of the venues we'll talk about, demolished by urban renewal or the Veterans Memorial Bridge when they built that. But Jim McGuire and others used to play there. Then the Pappas family from Rochester decided that Mankato was a good place for a restaurant. So they built a Michael's restaurant right where the shared spaces is now, and also Tandem Bagels.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that later turned to the Sugar Room too, right? That same
that
space?
That eventually became, you know, in the revival of music in this century, that became the Sugar Room. Yeah.
Okay. Mm.
Yeah. But in the 70s and early 80s, they had a formal dining room, and then there was a Red Boot Saloon, and in there they'd have Terry Powell would play barrel roll piano sometimes. Lowell Schreier would play banjo with his Michael's Minstrels, kind of Dixieland type stuff. And then they had a beautiful room, which is Tandem Bagels now, but it was called the Walnut Room, and it was all paneled in walnut. It had fabulous acoustics, and they would get national acts in there, like Chad Mitchell, and Jackson Brown played there for one night and allegedly got fired because nobody came in to hear him except Dan Duffy.
Oh.
Dan Duffy of the Dan Duffy Orchestra,
yeah.
Still playing today.
Yeah.
He went in there and he said, I'm listening to this guy and he's just incredible and there's nobody else in there. And at the end of the night, Jay came in and handed him a check and said, son, you're good, but sorry, you're not running across.
Oh, wow.
Jackson Brown allegedly got fired in Mankato.
Well, did he ever come back? That's the question. But anyway, I won't go down a rabbit hole. So tell us about these other venues, these other places where music was just the thing.
Well, you think of the Ratzgeller, which is right about where the City Center Hotel is right now. Okay. Front Street used to cut right through, you know, where it ends now at the Mankato Mall. Before the mall was there, it went all the way through.
Right.
Across land that is now occupied by the Civic Center. And on what either side.
Yeah, and what I usually try to tell people, because Front Street, we've had many conversations about Front Street. It's one
and
of
you've
my,
got the exhibit, right. Permanent exhibit at the History Center, yeah.
One of my obsessions. So what I always try to tell people is picture Pub 500 at one end and the Wine Cafe Today at the other end. That was one street.
Right.
And so I think that when Pete's talking about things that were on Front Street, that was actually Front Street. And that area that we know today as North Riverfront Drive, where the Wine Cafe is, and let's just say Mom and Pop's, because we need to think of food and ice cream and all kinds of stuff. That was North Front Street. And then where Loose Moose is today, they still have a South Front Street address.
Which is funny because there's no street there at all.
There is. So they're just putting it in context. So, yeah. Please tell us more about those.
Well, the Ratzkeller was a dive, but it was just a great place for music. And there was a fabulous band called Good Thunder. Everybody thought they were going to make it because it had the Doudash Brothers and Chris Brown, who went on to become a symphony bass player. Mm. I mean, just tremendous. But they played there. So many bands would play there. And all along Front Street, there were venues. I think of the Square Deal, which I think is the only one that still stands of all these places that
and
we
it's
talk
that
about.
Same name. It went through some different names, but it's still known as the Square Deal.
And, you know, you would get the Dust Bowl Blues Band would play in there, and it would be just so packed you could hardly move. City Mouse did one of their final ever gigs there at the Square Deal, and it was just, you could not move. They, of course, reformed again, and we talked about in the last podcast.
They do the farewell tour once every other year, too, yeah.
You know, for a while, they were doing it about once every 5 years,
Wow.
Now, you know, they've been the same band. They're still playing and since 1985. Same configuration.
Wow. That's incredible.
That's really incredible.
They would play at, the Hurdy-Gurdy.
The Hurdy-Gurdy. I love
that. Isn't
that
a great name? This venue has quite a storied past. I remember the article that you wrote for the Blue Earth County Historical Society's newsletter, and this one was a fun one to realize that basically they changed every time the music genre became popular.
Yeah, so that's a good way to
tell us more about Hurdy-Gurdy.
Well, it's approximately where Poly Eyes is, you know, right. Just Nola Belle?
Yeah,
Nola Belle.
Basically, it's where Nola Belle or Red Sky, you know. But it was just this huge kind of a warehouse, and they slung beer like you couldn't believe it, and a lot of the beer ended up on the floor or on the clothing of the person next to you. I mean, you know, on a hot Saturday night, even though it was a big place, it would be just packed, and everybody liked to play the Hurdy-Gurdy. Because it was a really good place, and there'd just be a lot of people. And Ron Doty, the owner, was one of the nicest guys you'll ever know. Sometimes bar owners aren't the nicest people to musicians. You know, let's say, well, you didn't bring anybody in, so I'm going to give you about 80% of what I said. And wait a minute, you said it was going to be, well, I don't care. Take this or leave it. Yeah. Ron never did that. Wow. Ron was always fair, you know.
That's good.
And the band members just loved him. And bless his soul, he's touring the country now. He's a vagabond, you know, and in his, what do you call him, the RV?
The Airstream?
The people that do that, you know,
Nomad?
He and Rhoda are nomads now.
Cool.
But once in a while, he makes it back to town.
Wow, cool. But the Hurdy-Gurdy, though, became, now I can't remember.
So T.J. Finnegan's.
T.J.
Because,
Finnegan's.
See, there was the Comf in North Mankato. The Comfy was a great rock place, and then that became T.J. Finnegan's, and then they tore it down to build the new bridge. And then Ron just took the name and changed the Hurdy-Gurdy into T.J. Finnegan's. Then we have to talk about disco death.
See, yes, that, please, that's please talk the, about it.
Well, everybody knows that disco came in, you know, with Saturday Night Fever and Donna Summer and all that. And through the 80s, bar owners thought, well, you know, I don't have to deal with these bands, you know, that can be really kind of, you know, problematic sometimes. I can just get a great sound system and play disco and you know, one payment, and then no, the sound system doesn't argue with you, you know.
Right.
And so it was a bad time for live music.
Instead of video killed the radio star, yeah, it was disco killed the band guy.
That was the song that was going in my head. I couldn't remember. I'm like, disco killed the radio. And I'm like, no, that's not it. What is it?
Well, okay. And Urban Renewal and the new bridge, you know, they took out a lot of the venues. Urban Renewal took out the Ratskeller. Al Grudel took that money and opened the legendary Albatross up in the Village Shopping Center, whatever they call that, you know, up on the near the MSU campus. You know, where Johnny B's is now.
Right.
You know, but it was huge, and this fabulous sound system, and just crank and disco. The Vikings would go over there.
They loved it, yeah,
all the time when they were here at training
camp. I'm sure there's a lot of places and a lot of communities that have a fun history like this that you just keep on going down names. I mean, T.J. Finnegan's is one that's for me is an old memory, and that's obviously we learn now is the Hurdy Gurdy before that, and before that the Comfy, and there's just the Horny Bull is a place you guys had.
Isn't that a 70s name?
Yes, it's so 70s.
That was out along 169 in the just torn down bowling alley.
Okay,
You know, that's being remodeled out there. But yeah, that was a big venue at the hotel that's being remodeled now at the corner of Webster and 169. That was, they had a lounge there where a lot of music was played. I think we mentioned in the last podcast, the basement of the In-Town Motel, which is now Minari Spa. That was a hot spot for music. There was the Burgundy House, which is about where the parking lot just south of the Mankato Mall, there's a parking lot there.
Mm-hmm.
They got a mural on that wall.
Yep.
River Rock Coffee Shop's right across the street. Well, that was the Burgundy House. That was a great music venue for a while.
Crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, that's so cool to know about these places and this, how many things have changed. And like, yet, as you say earlier, and it's making revitalization. These places are coming back. They just don't have cool names. They need to talk to us about getting good names. That's what it is.
You know, I'm just very excited by the way so many places are having music now. The revival started like in the 90s, I think, and in the early 2000s, you know, like the wine cafe started having music. Obviously the Coffee Hag,
What's Up
was a major player in the revival of live music.
And the What's Up plays a big role in the punk scene in Mankato, which is one that we haven't even touched on, but that was a huge mecca for that genre of music in that time. There was a huge influence of that right here in Mankato as well in the 90s.
And as we talk about all this music revival that came around and then it went away with disco and it's coming back, I feel like music festivals are coming back because there's a great one in Mankato I want to touch on when we come back from break. The People's Fair is legendary. I never got to experience it myself. I want to hear about it though through you, Pete, when we come back right here on Surrounded by History.
Welcome back to Surrounded by History. We're in studio today with Pete Steiner. Just a blessing for both Jeff and I to be able to hear your stories and help us walk down your memory lane. So both of us have heard of this music event that would take place right here in Mankato every spring, but neither of us experienced it. So tell us about People's Fair. How did it get started? Why did it happen? What was the big takeaways from it?
Paul Horsberger was a major figure in promoting music here locally, and he was also involved with Blue Earth County, and Blue Earth County was trying to combat the increasing use of drugs, not only marijuana, but cocaine, other drugs. A lot of people were, you know, having trouble just like they are today, and they invented the Eclipse Crisis Intervention Center, which needed separate funding. It wasn't in the Blue Earth County budget. So they did fundraisers, and Paul thought, well, let's have a music festival to fund it. So they just started with this little thing up on the MSU campus, upper campus. They used to have two campuses, but that's another story.
We actually talked about it in a previous podcast.
We covered that one.
We did.
So it started up there, but it just got to be bigger and bigger, and so they moved it down to Sibley Park, and it was on the sliding hill. And they would bring in the portable stage that Mankato still uses and set that up. And before long, through the 70s and through the 80s and the 90s, that hillside would be filled with thousands of people. It was kind of a reunion. People would come back, you know, if they lived in the Twin Cities, wanted to come back and see people who still lived here. And obviously, the MSU student crowd was a huge contingent that would come down there and hopefully bask in the sun. Now, it was in mid-May usually, and sometimes it could be cold. You know, they'd bring in national acts. So they would bring in Little Feet came.
Nice.
Johnny Lang, when he was at the height of his fame, came down to play. In one of the last years of the People's Fair, Johnny Lang was down here. The Wailers, Bob Marley's band. Bob Marley had unfortunately died, but the Wailers came. That was one of those miserable days.
No.
It was like 45 degrees and the wind was blowing.
Oh,
and there was
gosh.
A little rain. And the Wailers are from Jamaica. And I had a backstage pass because I was in radio and helping the MC, you know. And so I go back, and I've told this story before. Maybe people have heard of it. I walked up to one of them, and he's, you know, he's wearing those little hand things with the holes for your fingers.
Yeah.
And he's wearing a parka. And I said, well, what do you think of Minnesota? And he looked at me and said, cold, man. Cold. I'll never, ever forget that.
Oh,
I mean,
oh, that's great.
But, you know, I had to go. I love reggae music. And so here were the Wailers, you know, playing at People's Church. But they'd bring in all the local bands. Mm-hmm. It expanded to a two-day thing. And all the local musicians would get to play there. And then they'd bring in a big regional acts. There was, speaking of reggae, there was another big Twin Cities band called Changoya. They were fantastic. Mm. And so they would feature just a wide range of music over the 2 days and raised a lot of money.
That's really cool. I didn't know it started in the 70s.
I think 72, Jeff.
Okay.
I was in the Army at that time, but I think that was the first one.
Okay. Mm. It's one of those cool things with festivals like that, because I feel like, so that faded out in 2000,
well,
is that right?
There was a combination of things. You know, the law enforcement was starting to get concerned about major alcohol consumption. You know, a few years later, we had a riot up at MSU, you know, based
right.
on
2003.
Excessive alcohol consumption. That was kind of starting, and there was a young lady who almost died. She was underage, that just freaked out a lot of people. They started really controlling, you know, whether you could bring in your own beverages and stuff. But probably even more important, MSU changed their schedule. And so now they would release, usually, I think it was like the third weekend in May was the People's Fair, and MSU would release around the 15th. And so all of the university students would be gone. That was, you know, probably at least half the crowd. And it just, you know, couldn't sustain anymore with all these factors coming together. It was really sad. But, you know, like, now, I think of like the Rock Bend Folk Festival as kind of a reincarnation of the People's Fair. It's not as wild. The People's Fair would get pretty wild.
Well, I feel like Solstice, when I first started coming to Mankato, was a pretty awesome event. Down the memories.
Yeah.
That original Solstice event was pretty awesome and how that would go. And then go back and forth from side stage to side stage. And so that was great. And I feel like Ribfest has taken that role on a little bit, too. They've been in together for 25 years now. And it's a little bit different, but yet it's such a great musical event where they bring local and also national acts in.
That's a good comparison, you know, Ribfest and Solstice, yeah. So again, like we talked about on our previous podcast, you know, there was a big dip in the scene, and then now it kind of gets revived here in the new century.
I love it. I really love learning about this, and I wish we had more time to talk with you, Pete, because it's been, we'll do it again, and we'll bring it on for a third episode, because it's really exciting to talk about this stuff and just learn about the music scene and how I think it probably was, and then hear about it from you and what it was like, and I think it's really cool. So thank you for joining us.
Just, yeah. It's always great to see you, Jeff.
Well, thank you.
And you too, Jessica.
Oh, yeah. I was talking Jessica's to still here.
Like I said earlier, I'm sandwiched between these two guys, but they do remember I'm
but
in
I
the room.
But I see you more often than I see Jeff. Days because I've been fair. Volunteering down at the History Center.
That's fair. So if you are a history geek like myself and these two gentlemen, you come on down to the Blue Earth County Historical Society. There is a place for all of us down there. Thank you for tuning in today to this episode of Surrounded by History. And again, thank you very much, Pete, for being with us today and our first guest on our show.
Yeah.
So pretty fun. Until next time, we hope you see and hear the history that surrounds you.
You've been listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast from the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato. For more information on this and other topics, visit blueearthcountyhistory.com or stop by the Blue Earth County History Center at 424 Warren Street in Mankato. Thanks for listening to Surrounded by History.